Good morning, everyone. Declare the meeting open at 9:31 and start by acknowledging the Quandamooka people, who are the traditional custodians of the land in which we meet. And I'd like to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and of course extend that respect to any other Indigenous Australians who are present. Just a quick rundown on public conduct at meetings under Section 32 of our standing orders. All members of the public present at a meeting must not, without the prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recordings or take any photographs. Remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way. Not bring into the meeting any signs, placards, items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present. Be suitably dressed and turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements, that I may, with or without such warning, require the person to leave the meeting and not return for a period such as the chairperson decides, and that could include future meetings. I haven't been advised of any leaves of absence this morning, councillors, so we'll go straight to our devotional segment and welcome Pastor Marvin Donnell, Queensland's Community Baptist Chapel, to lead council in a brief devotional segment. Thank you, Pastor.
I am humbled to meet with you folks today. I want to give an object lesson. Before I do, I am pastor of the Redlands Community Baptist Chapel. I am the chaplain of American Legion Post AU03 Brisbane. I'm the home welfare officers of our Bayside South RSL sub-branch. I'm also a member of the Vietnam Veterans. But I wanted to give an object lesson for just a moment. I have a coin here, and I'm going to place this coin. And whoever wants it may have it. Because I want to talk about a gift. What is a gift? A gift is something you cannot work for. If you have to do anything for a gift, we have a lot of things that says you could win this and you can win that. And if the only way you can win it is by a ticket. Well, it's not a gift. It's a wage because you had to pay for it. Regardless of how small that might be, you still have to pay for it. The Lord God sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. He is the gift. For unto you a son is born, or a child is born, and unto you a son is given. In the book of Romans chapter 3:23 says, or 6:23, says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." So you cannot work for a gift, and we mostly give gifts to our children, and relatives give gifts to one another, especially Christmas time and birthdays. So if you have a gift and you want to give it, and your child or someone that you're giving a gift to, when you give it, they threw it back in your face and say, "Sir or ma'am, I do not want this." That's what we do to the Lord God. When we refuse his Son as our Savior, the gift is given, it's free, but it does not become one's possession until it is received. It is only received when we accept his Son. He did not die by the hand of man. In John chapter 10 and verse 17 and 18, it says, "I have received of my Father power to lay my life down and take it again. No man takes my life from me." That's just a paraphrase of it. It's not the correct quote. But he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He called me to be his son on the 5th day of January 1964, Kodai Air Base, Japan. Since that time, I've sought to honor him with my life. In speaking to thousands and thousands of people personally before I was ever in Bible college or ordained into the ministry, And so I want you to know the gift is given. It's up to you to receive it. Let's have prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this body, the council that you have given us. For we know that all councils, all rulers are ordained of thee, and we are to obey them. So we ask, Lord, that you would bless them, that you'd give them wisdom in the things that they need to do, that they would know what is the best for our city here. And so we ask, Lord, that you would grant wisdom to them as they make decisions. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless them and keep them, and that your countenance might be upon them and give them peace. For we ask that in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Councillors, item 5.1 is receipt and confirmation of minutes. Could I please have a mover and seconder that the minutes of the general meeting held on the 23rd of May 2018 be confirmed? Moved Councillor Gleeson, seconded Councillor Edwards. Any items for correctness? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried, and Councillor Elliott and Councillor Hughes are absent. Just quickly, Councillors, officers and any person presenting here today, I just need to remind you that any statements that are made in this chamber are not protected from civil or criminal liability. And I remind councillors that those presenting to remain respectful of each other are members of the community through the course of debate. It's not like state or federal parliament, councillors. I think we know that. Matters outstanding from minutes of previous general meeting. I don't believe we have any, so we'll go straight to public participation. I'll need, now we've got four. I'll need the meeting to be adjourned for about 20 minutes, councillors, for the public participation segment to allow members of the public to address council on matters of public interest related to local government. Move Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Bishop. And with that, councillors, are those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously, and Councillor Hughes and Councillor Elliott still absent. Just before I invite the first speaker up, if I could just remind those who are addressing council this morning, and there is some signage around chamber regarding public participation. It's our usual practice to require any person wishing to address the meeting to state their name, their suburb or the organisation they represent and the subject they wish to speak about. This information will be recorded in the minutes of this meeting, which is a public document available for inspection at Council's Administration Building and published on Council's website. I also wish to advise you that this meeting will be recorded in audio video and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording video may be placed in the public domain. Any person addressing the meeting will state their name and suburb, organisation they represent, the subject they wish to speak about, stand unless you're unable to do so, act and speak with decorum, be respectful and courteous, make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. And as chairperson, it is my responsibility to consider each application on its merits and consider any relevant matter in making my decision to allow or disallow a person to address the local government. Also, it's my responsibility to give priority to members of the public who have made a written application to the CEO to address this meeting and to determine the maximum number of speakers based on the number of persons wanting to speak and the time available. Each speaker has a maximum of 5 minutes, depending on the number of speakers, and it's also my responsibility to withdraw the approval to address council before the time period has elapsed. Just a reminder that debate or discussion cannot be entered into at this time. Now, if there is some requirement for a hearing loop, please just let us know and just stand in your spot and we'll bring the microphone over to you. All right, our first speaker who has made a written application is Michael Grand, a resident of Cleveland, regarding the future participation by Council in the maintenance and repair of revetment walls in Raby Bay. Mr. LeGrand, if you'd like to just make your way over to the microphone. just another quick reminder to state your name, suburb or organisation you represent, and you can begin when you're ready. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor Williams and councillors. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Mark Legrand. I reside at 12 Carling Court, Raby Bay, Cleveland, where I have for the last 18 years. I'd like to address the topic of the community consultation and the repair of revetment walls in Raby Bay. Now, I'd also like to make clear at the outset that I do not represent the Raby Bay Ratepayers Association, nor do I speak on its behalf. I have, however, in recent months, provided some assistance to that organisation in respect of mainly legal issues. My background to provide that assistance has been a barrister for many years. I was the Director of the Criminal Justice Commission, General Counsel and Board Member of the National Crime Authority, and Deputy Director of Public Prosecutions. Astoundingly, as it may seem, despite the three decades of the operation of the Raby Bay Ratepayers Association, they've never really had any effective legal input as to what the respective legal duties and obligations were between canal owners and the council. I addressed a public meeting of the association on the 14th of March, attended by over 300 residents. And after that, I was approached by numerous residents to speak on their behalf directly to council, and I'm very grateful for this opportunity. I'd just like to make 6 points. I know time is very short. Firstly, I was shocked when I went through the past correspondence and representations at the tone of those correspondence with council. The confrontational, hypercritical, aggressive and sometimes almost abusive aspect of those statements was really quite regrettable. And certainly on behalf of those who've asked me to speak to you, I want to formally apologise for that to council. It's unnecessary and counterproductive. Most people like myself were busy at work in who live in Raby Bay and had some idea that there was this contretemps about levies, but no real detailed knowledge. I hit the books and I looked very closely at it. I very quickly came to the conclusion that not only were the levies totally legal, but appropriate and very much in the interests of the residents of Raby Bay. Now, it's a pity that those facts weren't drawn to the community's attention before this. At my urging, a fact sheet setting out those respective legal positions were distributed to all residents. I think that has brought about a substantial new understanding of what the relationship with council is. As a result of that, at the public meeting, there was almost unanimous approval by 300 residents. That's getting close to half the total number of residents in Raby Bay, that we should support the continuing operation of that levy regime. The second thing I wanted to draw to your attention is that the maintenance of the current regime of 22 years, which was put in place during the reign of the late, great Mayor Eddie Santagiuliana, after the Simmons Geotechnical Report, is vital to the continuing viability of Raby Bay. It's built on highly reactive clay, unlike the Gold Coast, unlike Moreton Bay regions, and it does require continuing maintenance and support. The third thing I wanted to say is that, as I say, the vast majority of Raby Bay ratepayers support the payment and continuation of the present regime, and that they seek no subsidy, no support from the wider Redlands community or works in respect of their properties. The next thing I'd like to say is that surely in the interests of counsel that Arabi Bay does not fall into disrepair. Beyond the interests of residents, it's a great resort for the people of the Redlands. Public beaches, parks, waterfront access, fishing spots, barbecue areas, doggy beach, harbourfront meeting place, restaurants, events venue, triathlon, markets, tourism, etc. It's a substantial public benefit to the Redlands community. Arabi Bay demographic has changed quite dramatically in recent years. It used to be the area of the privilege of professionals and business people. It's now very much an area where there are retirees, where public servants, there are trade persons, etc. It's a very much a mixed community these days. Now, some councillors may be thinking, well, because of the past aggression, the past attitude, that it's payback time for the years of that interaction. But I would respectfully submit that you will not be hurting the aggressors. The only people you'll be hurting are the innocent bystanders who were not given the appropriate information to make a true decision on just where their interests lay. Now, there's been a next point I want to make is the class action initiated by certain old antagonists of the council. I went to the meetings yesterday. Frankly, it's simply a lawyer's picnic. If, in my professional judgment, if any person who's foolish enough to join that class action reaps any reward, I'd be very surprised. All the money will be pocketed by the funders and by the lawyers. It's in nobody's residents' interest that they join that action. And indeed, I now have numerous people supporting a counteraction if it gets off the ground under Section 103K of the Civil Proceedings Act of 2011 to have it shut down on the basis that it does not represent the interests of the Arabi Bay community. And finally, I would note that the community consultation was supportive of the current regime, showing with respect to the innate good sense of the Redlands community for a fair go. In undertaking this community consultation, council said that it would respect the will of the people they were elected to represent. And with great respect, I urge the council to keep its word on that matter. Thank you once again for the opportunity to address you today.
Thank you, Mr. LeGrand. Thank you. Our next speaker is Peter Cumming from Urban Systems. Is Peter in the room? Would you like to make your way up to the microphone, Peter? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Cumming. Just a reminder, state your name, suburb or the organisation you represent, and you may start when you're ready. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mayor Williams and councillors. I'm actually Peter Cumming's partner. Flan Morley is my name. I'm a partner of Peter's and Urban Systems, and Peter and I, we're going to do a joint presentation today, but Peter couldn't make it at the last second, so you'll have to put up with me. I'm just circulating some notes, which is really what I'm talking to today, and I just think it's helpful. There's some diagrams on there, which I can quickly run through with you. What I'm here to talk about today is we're acting for an applicant, Aquience Towers, who have made an application back in December 2016 for a mixed-use commercial residential building at on the corner of Middle Street and Passage Street, just down the road in Cleveland. And really what I want to do today is quickly walk you through a précis of a more detailed submission we're going to be putting shortly through to council officers and to council, The application may indeed come to full council for determination, so that's why we're taking this opportunity now to give you a very quick briefing on it. You'll see on the first page there the site has an existing approval, and on at figure two there is an elevation, passage street elevation of the existing approval. That was a five-storey building with a stepped-in sixth level, an overall height of 19.3 metres. And that was approved in 2013 and was recently extended in late 2017 for a further 4 years. Our application was lodged in December 2016, initially for a seven-storey mixed-use building, now revised down to six storeys, and it has an overall height of 19.6 metres to Passage Street, ranging to 21 metres, depending, and that depends on the roof form. What I've done there in figures 3 and 4 for you is really, I've superimposed the approved elevations on the proposed building. And look, I think you can see from that the approved building is slightly shorter but bulkier, and now the Aquarian's proposal is slightly taller and a more slender building. And I think there's really no, look, for the average punter, and I'd consider myself an average punter, I don't think there's any really discernible difference between five to six stories. To the casual observer, I think you'd be hard pressed to tell the difference. Overshadowing and visual impacts are more or less the same for this sort of building. The issue for us is conflict with the planning scheme. The approved tower, this area, by the way, is in a precinct with a 13-metre maximum height. The approved tower exceeded that height by 6.3 metres. The Aquarian's proposal exceeds the height by around 6.6 to 8 metres, could be 7 metres. So what we're really talking about is a difference of around about a metre in overall height, but we have an extra story, so we're talking six stories compared to five. When we look at our presentation to the officers, we'll talk about sufficient grounds to justify, hopefully, an approval, despite the conflict. We noted that the previous applicants they suggested grounds which I still think are quite relevant even for us today. They talked about the setback of their sixth level, that the building would be commensurate with built form or likely built form in the area. It's on the corner of a site, not in the middle of a block. Therefore, it can transition. Buildings of a similar height have been approved in proximity to the site, and you know there's the issue of using valuable land resources close to Cleveland Town Centre and transport nodes, and they're the sort of things we've also said about our proposal. Ours is well articulated, good setbacks, and we don't think it'll have any more adverse impact on neighbours than the current approval. Of interest, we notified this application in the middle of last year at seven stories, and it attracted one submission. And I was a little bit surprised about that, but then when I think about it, I think it really talks to there's broad community acceptance of the need for density in locations like Cleveland. And if you turn to figure five, we've also pointed out that the development is not inconsistent with, you'll need your glasses to read that, but it's not inconsistent with approved, under construction or developed buildings in the immediate area, which all range between six to seven stories. We also quickly had looked at the Redlands housing strategy. Now that document's a little bit dated, it was finalised in 2011, but the issues are talked about there, housing affordability, ageing of the population, the need to revitalise Cleveland, the need for housing diversity, I still think they're just as relevant now as they were when that report was done. I've noted there in figure six, it talked about locating a density and infill housing in well-serviced locations, and that little figure six there was an extract from a map there. You can see that orange swathe, which really runs from Cleveland down to Toondah Harbour. We're sort of right in the middle of that. We're in a well-serviced location. We're within 800 metres walking catchment of a proposed bus interchange in Cleveland. You know, you can still get to the rail station, and there's also a local centre proposed directly across from the site, and that's what figure 7 shows. Now, there's some other things that I could quickly touch on here. the report talked about making efficient use of land, keeping housing affordable. One of the really interesting things I thought it touched on was that opportunities for increased residential densities can reduce pressure on the expansion of the urban footprint and help to maintain green space. Because there's a real tension in Redlands between, you know, density and an aspiration to keep a lot of Redlands low density and with, you know, the environmental values that the city has. There's also that the housing strategy also touched on a lack of diversity in dwelling types and an ageing population and the need for age-appropriate dwellings, and that's really what applicants are trying to deliver on this site. Very quickly, just touching on the post-consultation draft Redland planning scheme from March 2017, and figures 8 and 9 in there are extracts of the MDR 3 and MDR 4 precincts that the draft plan is proposing. We can see that the overall outcomes talk about providing connections between Cleveland Principal Centre surrounding area, building height, reinforcing the vibrancy of Cleveland as a principal centre. And in particular, when you have a look at Precinct 9, you can see I've just put a little red arrow, red star there where our site is. You know, there's the scattering of MDR 4 in there, and that's talking about going to 19 metres. When I look at that, you know, there's a question in my mind as to, well, why didn't the Aquians site, why wasn't that one of those locations? Look, I don't know whether it was overlooked or the fact there was an approval on the site, but when you look at what, you know, it's talking about consolidating underutilised sites, reinforcing the role of Cleveland. Well, that's exactly what the Aquians proposal is on about. We also note that the draft planning scheme now sensibly defines mid-rise as 3 to 6 stories. That fits with our proposal. And I think that's a sensible thing because, you know, the trouble with 3 to 4 to 5 story developments really is, you know, there's cost of lifts, the limited accessibility of walk-ups. It's really quite marginal, whereas when you get up to 6 stories, it can start to, a development can start to stack up. One of the things with the draft planning scheme is that, you know, there's a thought that maybe we could make a submission to include the site in an MDR4, and I think it would have good grounds for a successful submission. You know, my only concern with that is that, you know, submissions and planning schemes, the gestation period takes a long time for these things to get going. This application's been in for a year and a half. I'm just, you know, maybe the easiest thing is simply to approve it, to be quite honest, rather than another year and a half with a submission. Finally, I'd just like to talk about the Cleveland Principal Activity Centre, and I think, you know, talking to some of my economics colleagues, one of the issues they talk about is for Redlands is the extremely fragmented economic base. Now, I've made a little typo when I was doing this late last night. I've said here that Capella Bar and Victoria Point together have twice the lettable retail floor space of Cleveland. In fact, it's 3 times the lettable floor space. Cleveland is the weaker centre, and yet it's the CBD. And I think the real issue is that the density around Cleveland is low. The population is therefore low. My colleague Peter Cumming tells me that he looked at the Cleveland CD ABS data, and Cleveland in the last 5 years has grown by 100 people net, even though there's been, you know, 300 dwellings. If you've got a low population, you've therefore got you've got a low spend and therefore a low demand for services. And so really what Cleveland needs is more people in and around the centre. More people means more expenditure, and that generates commercial activity, and that gets the vitality going, and I think that's a good grounds in support of the Aquians proposal. I think finally this also is what we're talking about here supports is consistent with the aims of the SEQ regional plan, and you know, more density in these sort of locations really, I think, helps with the broader community's aspirations for, you know, lifestyle and environmental aspirations for the broader parts of Redlands, put the density where it's most suitable and most required. Thank you very much for your time, and thanks for listening to me.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Appreciate it.
Our final speaker is Tom Taranto. Tom, would you like to make your way to the microphone? Thanks. And just to remind us, state your name and suburb and the organisation you represent. We begin when you're ready.
Madam Chair, councillors. My name is Tom Taranto, residing in here in Cleveland, and today representing the community organisation Redlands 2030. We seek to table a petition requesting council to form a community reference group to provide advice to council on the future use of the Commonwealth land at Birkdale. The petition was prepared by Redlands 2030 in response to discussions at a recent community gathering. As you know, Redlands 2030 is an incorporated not-for-profit association providing a growing forum for people concerned about local government and its planning within our Redlands city. We would like to say that Council's recent statements to secure the land for community benefit has been appreciated by many, and we acknowledge the efforts of Councillors Karen Williams, Paul Gleeson and Paul Bishop to achieve community outcomes. We also wish to recognise the member for Capalaba, Don Brown, for his interest and in identifying that council would need to have a plan in place for the 50 hectares of Birkdale bushland should council want to borrow money from the state to buy the land. We consider that the formation of a community reference group a prudent step that will strengthen efforts to secure the land for community benefits. Amongst other things, the group carrying the interests of the local community could strongly lobby the Commonwealth for the historic and environmentally sensitive land to be surrendered for public purposes at no cost. The Commonwealth's decision to hand over land at Maroubra to the New South Wales Government for community purposes sets the standard for how the government should be dealing with what should be the Birkdale parklands. Further, it is suggested that community organisations should comprise the core of this community reference group and should include representatives of local organisations such as the Queensland National Trust, Redlands Branch, the Koala Action Group, Birkdale Progress Association, Wildlife Queensland Bayside Branch, and Redlands 2030. The last Redlands 2030 forum identified some innovative options for the use of the Birkdale public open space, such as city farms, community gardens, and outdoor recreation areas that would complement a public institution such as a university, if that proves feasible. In addition, it is considered the land should be linked to the adjacent Brisbane city lands on the opposite side of Tingalpa Creek, a significant open space network in its own right. These are but some of the ideas that have been sprouted by your community. These ideas and many others will surely flow to turn the Commonwealth land at Birkdale into a valued public asset. The Birkdale approach could be exemplar for community engagement in determining the future use of a valuable land parcel. It would set a standard that completely contrasts with the ongoing abuse of community interests and community values being demonstrated by the recent...
Sorry, Mr. Taranto, your point of order, Councillor Elliott.
Denigrating council as a whole.
I ask you to withdraw that, Mr. Taranto, to remind you of the standing orders. You're not to bring other members of the public, councillors or representatives into disrepute. Thank you.
The Toondah referral process is being imposed on our community. A third referral process and a 10-day window for community input is surely an abuse of process irrespective of the legal technicality.
Mr. Taranto, I'm going to ask you to finish now. I think you're actually starting to cross the requirements of our standing orders. You are given the liberty to speak to council based on the standing orders set by this council. and you're now crossing the line.
I will now conclude.
One more step out of line and I will turn the microphone off.
The acquisition of the Commonwealth land at Birkdale is seen as an opportunity for Council to engage the community from the onset. An opportunity to turn the growing disaffection and growing distrust in government into a valued relationship where we can both appreciate positions and build respect. The Redlands community is keen to have the relationship between the community reference group and Council progressed. We look forward to working with Council to turn the historic and environmentally sensitive Commonwealth lands of Birkdale into a future public asset that is used and appreciated by all.
Thank you, Mr. Taranto. Councillors, move that we...
May I just comment? Would you just like to outline our position with the federal government at the moment on the Birkdale land, where we're up to?
Well, certainly, and just... Well, we are stepping outside of our standing orders. Well, the fact of the matter is that we continue to negotiate just to actually have the government agree to sell the land to Council. Those negotiations are happening until such a time that we actually have a contract in place and an agreement in place. Everything else that we're talking about is futile. I continue to meet with ministers. I have a meeting with two ministers in Canberra when I'm down for the National Congress for Australian Local Government Association. We're meeting with senior bureaucrats this week. I can assure you that Council's intention is to do the best we can, get the best value for our ratepayers and the best possible outcomes. At this point in time, there is no agreement to do anything other than have those meetings. Does that satisfy
your request?
Thank you. Yeah. All right, moving on. I just need a mover and seconder that our meeting proceedings are resumed. Councillor Edwards moves. Councillor Mitchell seconded. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Couple of petitions. Firstly, Councillor Edwards, you have a petition to present.
Yes, I have a petition for residents of Tunga Street, Maclay Island, requesting Council formally grant opening times for the dog park at Tunga Street, Maclay Island, be from 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. each day. I move that the petition is of an operational nature and be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration.
Move, Councillor Edwards. Seconded, Councillor Gleeson. No further discussion required.
Just quickly to clarify what it's about. It appears that the residents around that dog park are being awoken by people walking their dogs earlier hours in the morning. Currently in winter, it's in the dark and it's waking them up. So I'm sure the officers will look into that and contact the Chief Petitioner.
Thank you. So we have a mover and seconder. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Councillor Bishop, you have a petition to present.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I'd like to move a petition which has previously been mentioned. The petition is from residents of Redlands City requesting Council to form a community reference group, a CRG, to assist Council plan for the future of the Commonwealth land in Birkdale. And I'd just like to move that the petition be received and referred to the Chief Executive Officer for consideration and a report to the local government.
Move, Councillor Bishop. Seconded, Councillor Boglari. Any further discussion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Bishop. Those against? Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Williams. Thank you. Councillors, we are now going to just adjourn the meeting for a presentation on our branding. So if I could just quickly have a mover and seconder that we adjourn the meeting for about 20 minutes. Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Boglari. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Might just call Mel and the team forward. for the members of the public in the gallery, this is just a presentation on an item that's before us this morning on the agenda, which is our branding presentation. There are a number of people in the gallery who are going to join Mel and speak to both council and the public gallery. Over to you, Mel.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Council, for having us today to present to you about the branding project. So the Place brand is an investment in the city's future, an investment in the prosperity and growth. It's used by countries, regions and councils globally to compete for economic development and tourism opportunities. We're here to present the city branding project because it has been set as a council priority in late 2016. It was an action that was identified as part of the Redlands City Tourism Strategy and Action Plan. It has also been a recommendation of the Redlands Economic Development Advisory Board. The reputation as a place closely aligned with our abilities to attract visitors, new business and investment to the Redlands. This project has been a rather long process. It's been an exciting process. We've carried out very robust research and stakeholder consultation with almost 5,000 locals, businesses and visitors over the last 10 months. And the result that we present to you today is Redlands Coast, Naturally Wonderful. I'd like to invite Sam Kennedy to join us. She is the chair of the Redlands Economic Development Advisory Board and has seen significant recommendations to the project through the course of its development. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Melissa, and thank you, Madam Mayor. Today is an amazing opportunity to present to you and to congratulate the team at Council for all those involved in the research and development and delivery of this Redlands Coast Naturally Wonderful. I love it. The process that you undertook was so extensive and exhaustive and so engaging with the community. You are to be commended on that work, you and all of the team. And we're very pleased, on behalf of the Economic Development Advisory Board and my colleague Jordan Duffy, who's a Redland resident, who's also here today, we're very pleased to be here and very impressed by the process undertaken by the team at Council and all of the community involved. So on behalf of all of the board members, I can tell you we're very excited, principally because it creates a very clear new identity for this wonderful city. When we began our journey as the Economic Development Advisory Board, we were scratching our heads about the identity of this city. This makes the identity of the city very, very clear and something that we can use to easily promote the city. So we look forward to seeing the emergence of what we believe will be positive outcomes for the Redland Coast community, for the businesses, the trade and in particular the tourism market. Something perhaps local residents have in their own backyard they take for granted. This happens in all communities as you grow accustomed to what you have in your own backyard. But as someone who lives outside Redlands and who travels extensively both nationally and internationally, I can tell you what you have here is enviable and unique and we need to promote it. The blue waters of the Southern Moreton Bay, which teems with the abundance of wonderful marine life, approximately 335 kilometres of coastline, the beautiful hinterland, the different coastal villages, all with their different personalities, and the strong heritage with one of the oldest living cultures on earth. Island Gems, just a short trip from Brisbane, and so much more make Redlands an extremely significant destination. Redlands Coast, a significant destination for business and tourism alike. With one in four jobs created worldwide being related to tourism, destination marketing is absolutely critical to helping us capture a larger share of the more than 24 million visitors estimated to visit Queensland each year. We want a bigger share of that market. There is huge potential for the new and authentic Place brand Redlands Coast to support both continued growth in tourism as well as business investment and development in other sectors by having this clear identity of Redlands Coast. It will help sectors such as education and healthcare. Today I acknowledge and thank other members of the Redlands Tourism Subcommittee who have joined us and have provided advice and insight in their own time on the development of this brand. Col McInnes, Vice President of the Southern Moreton Bay Island Chamber of Commerce and the Chair of Southern Moreton Bay Island Tourism Subcommittee. Nikki Cornwall, from the Coochie Boat from Coochie Boat Hire, and Phil Robinson from the Redland Museum and Old Schoolhouse Gallery. I would also like to share some words of two of the city's tourism subcommittee members who cannot be here today. Firstly, Stratty Chamber of Commerce, Cole Battersby, wanted to tell you. This is an amazing time and opportunity for the city. The opportunities are endless. He looks forward to the new brand and the future of tourism as a key driver of growth in our city. Also, tourism subcommittee member, Kayak CEO Cameron Costello, who is currently in Broome, thankfully on a tourism initiative, wanted to share with you these words. I think his support is extremely important for us. Redlands Coast provides a platform to promote all the city has to offer, including Quandamooka culture, which has the potential to become an international tourism draw card. I concur, as does the board. With so much to offer, it is right that Redlands Coast is proudly stepping onto the world stage and speaking boldly of all the rhythm and opportunity it presents. Redlands Economic Development Advisory Board is delighted to stand beside Redlands City Council as it charts this new course into the new era for this ancient land and sea. Redlands Coast, naturally wonderful. Yes, it certainly is.
Thank you, Sam. Just for those of you who haven't met Sam before, not only does she chair our Economic Development Advisory Board, but she's also the Director of
Strategy and Innovation
at Optus, and was definitely the driving force between Optus's involvement in Gold Docs. So we're very fortunate to have her driving a wonderful group of people, including Jordan up the back, as far as giving us advice as to how we can bring Redlands Coast or Redlands City to a point where it's containing its employment and creating opportunities for business. So thank you so much, Sam,
thank
for being
you.
Here. Well,
thank you. Thank you, Sam. So this has been a story of local collaboration. It has been a journey that we started in July last year, which started with focus testing groups to try and uncover what the essence of the Redlands was. It was about digging deep. And that was just the beginning of the journey. We have since then conducted over 20 workshops. We have had thousands of face-to-face interviews, online surveys, telephone surveys. It has been a very robust market research project that has involved community, business, industry, and key stakeholder groups throughout the Redlands. Who I would like to introduce you to next is a Redlander who has been in the Redlands for 5 years from Birkdale, married a Redland girl who has lived here for 28 years. And Lucas was one of the people who came to the very first workshop groups that we held in July last year. And Lucas, please come forward. Lucas Bolton is the beginning of the Redlands Coast. This is the gentleman who first coined the term Redlands Coast that made us sit up and pay attention in the research groups. Lucas, welcome.
Thank you. So thanks for the opportunity to come today, and I want to share why the Redland Coast resonates with me and why I put it forward in the market research groups. So being here for 5 years, I'm not born and bred. So when I moved to Brisbane from Newcastle, I made a conscious decision to come out to the Redlands after spending a bit of time out here with, at the time, my girlfriend. And coming from a coastal town in Newcastle, I really valued the coast, the water, the sea breeze, the community, the lifestyle. And when I was in the market research, that's exactly the things about the Redlands that resonated with me and why the Redlands Coast was, I guess, the term that really, yeah, meant that to me.
Thank you. Thank you, Lucas, for joining us. We thought we you would all enjoy meeting the man who came up with the term. So, Lucas... Lucas suggested it, and it made us take note in the market research, because before that we were testing about 10 other name options and they were sort of being shuffled around, and it made us sit up and pay attention and go, oh, that might be a good idea. So from that point forward, it was put through to the rest of the market research group, and it just gained more and more attention and more attraction. It then went through a very robust testing of quantitative research, so that was online and face-to-face surveys. It resulted in 84% of locals preferring coast to the addition of Redlands. 88% of visitors preferred the addition of coast to Redlands, 89% of the young people in the Redlands who were surveyed preferred the addition of Coast, and 95% of the local tourism industry preferred it to be added. So it has received significant endorsement from the community through the consultation. That then led into the creative development. With that name, we need an identity and a visual representation. And a logo was developed. Although this place brand is more than a logo, the logo helps us to create recognition and it helps us to build the vital requirements of brand equity. So the logo that we present to you in conjunction with the place marketing name of Redlands Coast is with us. This is not about Council's brand and it doesn't change the official city name. This is about positioning the Redlands through promotion to take advantage of our economic development opportunities for the future, including trade and investment, as well as talent attraction and tourism initiatives, so that we can also develop further our extremely connected and enviable city pride that we have in the Redlands. I would now like to introduce you to Delveen Cockatoo Collins. Delveen is an incredible local Quandamooka Indigenous artist who we worked collaboratively with our council officer Lincoln Kilworth on the design of the logo. And Delveen would like to present to you the meaning and the work behind what she has created.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, councillors and staff and the public. Thank you to Mel. Last year there was an expression of interest to participate in the project of the branding, and at the same time I was working on my arts-based inquiry research to develop an exhibition that I recently held at the Redlands Art Gallery, and part of that research was me walking most of Quandamooga country and gathering clays. So during those walks over those 12 months, I really got to know the area, really got to understand what the landscape looked like, and I felt once this expression of interest came out that I had the right to contribute to this process, that I understood what it meant to be part of this area. My family does belong to Quandamooka country. I belong to the Noongar Noongar and Gurrumpul people. I've had an ongoing connection here through my family. So through both my arts practice and my family history, I thought about what I saw and what I felt about this area, and I have absolute pride living here. I live in Dunwich and I participate locally regularly. I participate a lot here in Cleveland as well and throughout the Redlands. So subtly in the symbolism, in the R and the C, the Redlands Coast logo, you see the soft lines. For me, they reflect subtly the soft sand lines and the shells that exist within the bay, within that coastline that you walk. I'd like to share a really quick story about my family. They spend a lot of time on the bay. My nephew has his own boat and he travels, going between the islands. And about two Christmases ago, he came across a nautilus shell, a full nautilus shell, a large one floating in the water, and he picked that up and he gave that to my mum for Christmas. I reflect on that shape, and for me I can see that in this Redlands Coast branding. And those soft sand lines are also not only on the coast but also on the landscape. So you see in the green colour, that's where those soft lines are. So in my arts practice, most of my work is symbolic, and I feel like I've captured the essence, the feeling here within the Redlands.
Thanks, Delveen. We're very fortunate to have you as part of our community, and obviously congratulations on your great successes in this recent year. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yes, thank you, Delveen. An incredible local talent. And on that local talent note, everything that has been used as part of the development of this presentation to you today has been local talent. So we have not looked outside the box of our local, incredible local talent that we have in the Redlands Coast. So that takes us to the research uncovered What is the essence of our positioning statement when it comes to promoting the area, and what is our tagline? We presented about 10 different options in initial research. They were refined down. And in those research environments, the community felt like they were better at coming up with these options, and so they came up with their own. Independently of each other, in each workshop, they would come up with Naturally Wonderful. They would throw ours out, and they would come up with their own. And so we took notice and went, this just can't be happening over the course of the time, and we took that into further testing. So we tested that far and wide, and 80% of residents preferred Naturally Wonderful to position the Redlands, and 85% of visitors felt like they preferred it and that it fits very well with what they know about the Redlands Coast area. So I would like to now present to you a hype reel of what the Redlands Coast brand means to the community, what it means to the people who have worked on this project, and what it means to the local talent who have contributed to this. We have engaged every single person that you see appear in this is a local Redlander, whether they're a community member or a business member. It has been shot by locals. The music has been created specifically for Redlands Coast by a local. Please enjoy.
You can see the spirit of nature moving here, inhaling and exhaling in the rhythm of the tides.
A place where love
it drives our way of life,
like waves
fueling the passion,
rolling to shore,
pursuits and play
drawn to
of the people who call it home. And it's carried on the breeze that blows through our villages. It's savoured in the rich flavours of our fresh local produce. And it echoes in the calls of our people and wildlife. Its energy is seen in the waves on our coastline.
The ocean flows in my veins. Yes, you and I, we are the same.
It's a place where beautiful contrasts combine.
Keep us connected, drawn to this place we call our home. And I, drawn to this place.
Beach, it's to rainforest, calm, to wild. Redlands Coast. Naturally Wonderful.
Thank you, and welcome to Redlands Coast.
Just before I ask a mover and seconder for the meeting proceedings to be resumed, can we just once again acknowledge the great work that Mel and the whole team under Tracy Walker have done with consultation. It's been, a labour of love and a great deal of passion that's gone into it, and we're very fortunate to have such a dedicated team of people. And to all those people who participated, I know we've got a few members of the subcommittee here for tourism and the board, etc. Thank you for being here today, and it is an exciting opportunity for our city. With that, I'll ask for a mover and second that we move back into our meeting proceedings. Move Councillor Tolte, seconded Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Councillors, just reminding you of your material personal interests and conflict of interest under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to your councillor's material personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at a meeting. A summary of these responsibilities are in your agenda, and please note that they have been updated, and you've also been provided, I believe, with these forms based on the amendments to the legislation recently, and that will be, I guess, a way of us managing those new requirements as we move forward. Okay. Item 12.1, councillors, is the adoption of the Redland City brand, and I have a move, Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Tolte. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bishop?
First of all, I'll just move the motion which is before us, which is the adoption of the Redland City brand. The officer's recommendation is that council resolves to endorse and adopt the Redlands Coast Place brand, including the name Redlands Coast, for marketing, the positioning statement Naturally Wonderful, the brand strategy and visual identity logo to support implementation activities.
That's been moved and seconded by Councillor Tolte. You may speak to it, Councillor Bishop.
Thank you very much. Acknowledging that which has gone before, I'd like to make 4 points, if I may. This is a very important body of work, and the first point is that it is a custodial branding that is for our city, and the city is made up of many people, 150,000 residents currently, but also a history that goes back to antiquity, beyond the mists of time, beyond the mists of Western civilization, and we are custodians for a culture that stretches back a long time, and Redland City has worked collegiately with the Quandamooka people for many years, and it's important that that is reflected through the artwork and the recent work, initially with an organisation called Galimba, who importantly has impressed upon council the importance of carrying forward the Quandamooka theme. So that's a very important thing. But the broad custodial nature of this goes well beyond the Quandamooka country and connection to culture. It's about the identity of the pioneering European time, and it's actually about the custodial place. And I think the reason that is of significance for us locally, regionally, nationally and globally is that we are moving into a time that is being defined by many as the sharing culture, the sharing economy. And the custodial nature of this opportunity gives the people the opportunity to share this place. Second point I want to make is that it is for the community, and there many people will have different views about what this means to them. It is not a change to the identity of Redland City as a corporate logo and the name of this place. You can call it what you want. It doesn't make you have to change or adopt anything anew, but it is an opportunity for a community-wide conversation. And I think there are some things that we have all learned about the size of this place. The fact that North Stradbroke Island actually takes up the same amount of land space as mainland Redland City. It's a large place, and we're also aware of the fact that there are over 300 kilometres of coastline that we, as the councillors, have to make decisions about on behalf of our community. So the community role is a very important one. In relation to that, I also think it's worthwhile acknowledging that the Naturally Wonderful logo is a reminder to us as councillors that the quadruple bottom line values of Redland City, the social, the economic, the environmental and the cultural, are very important parts of this branding, of this place, and they came through very strongly from the community with over 750 face-to-face interviews, over 20 workshops around the city involving over 300 people of all ages. I was fortunate to go to some of those workshops. People from the community, business, tourism industry and Indigenous representatives from the community. Over 1,000 people surveyed on their name preference and over 4,200 people engaged online. So consultation from the community perspective is very important. My third point, I'll go back to that. Ecological sustainability is an opportunity and a conversation that the community should have, and it's appropriate that we do. The second is the commercial realm. The tourism sector and the businesses that will benefit from this need to step forward and actually see where are their opportunities for themselves. This is to be used for tourism, and there are economic opportunities for people. We will be asking the members of the various businesses, whether they're local, national, regional or global, to use and respect this brand, and I think it's appropriate that we manage that brand in a way that they can benefit from. And then it comes back to the fourth point, is the civic responsibility. A brand like this, we've now got a look and a feel. Now it comes to marketing. There will be a request and a requirement from the council, the civic realm, that we will need to fund a degree of this. One of the things that I think is important that we've identified is that this needs to be a collaboration between the community, between the commercial and the civic realm. And I think we're looking for the kinds of discussions that can allow this brand to be something that we can manage and control, but do it in a way that's going to be custodial and respectful for others. I'll finish at that point, but just absolutely endorse this incredible breadth of work. Know that some people will have a different view about it, but it opens up an opportunity for a very important conversation as we enter a climate of change, and I think that's a good thing about our city. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Speaker against? Speaker against, Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor, and respectfully to Mel, the team, I appreciate the effort and the work that they've gone into. However, I can't overlook the amount of times that we've said how much we have here in Redland City is our unique city. And naming the city Redland Coast is not unique. When I understand that, branding the city, I'll change the terminology, branding the city Redland Coast, when we that will make us number 13 coast. We have 12 coasts here along our Queensland, literally, coastline. Gold Coast, Sunshine Coast, Fraser Coast, Central Coast, Coral Coast, Discovery Coast, which is Agnes Waters, Capricorn Coast, Rockhampton, Keppel Coast, Serenity Coast, Mackay, Whitsunday Coast, the Tropical Coast, the Cassowary Coast, and we're going to be marketing Redland Coast. We've spent over $200,000 to come up with Redland Coast as a marketing, and I'm personally disappointed on that one. So I would just share that I don't support that name. Thank you.
Speaker 4. Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Mayor. I'll start off by reiterating what's already been said to Mel and team. Great work. For clarity for the community, I think I just want to make it clear again that this is one of the key items that we discussed after the 2016 election. There were five key items and branding of our city to encourage economic development and tourism was one of our key objectives. And in government terms, I've got to say, you know, it's been a couple of years now and that's probably a fairly quick process. I've got to say, branding really has only kicked home to me recently as to how big a deal this is and how big a process this has been. Branding for our city to boost those opportunities is really terrific. Our city, no doubt, will be known as Redlands Coast, more so than Redlands City Council. Redlands City Council will be the bureaucratic arm, I guess, of what will become known as Redlands Coast. I think it's fantastic. I don't understand why anyone wouldn't support this one. I would say branding's great, but unless our business and industry get a hold of it and use it and abuse it and do whatever they can with it, quite often, you know, these things don't go anywhere. So I'd really encourage our local businesses and enterprises to jump on board and use this. I think it's terrific outcome. I know there's been a couple of detractors out there on social media, but really, there's been a couple, not too many, and I'm sure they don't own local businesses and tourism operators, you know. I think most of the city will embrace this. I think it's fantastic. I think in real terms, it's pretty good value for money. I think Mel and her team have done a fantastic job. Keen to support it.
Speaker against, Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Matt. I'm similar to Councillor Hughes. I wasn't impressed, and seeing we're talking percentage of terms, that when this first came to council, 78% of councils in the room weren't either. So I'm quite surprised there's suddenly this huge glow for the Redlands Coast name now. So I'm quite surprised at that. And Councillor Gleeson has just hit on, there's been a few detractors. Well, Mark Robinson on his Facebook site had 102 comments, and I think four were positive. So even the local member didn't understand that, and Councillor Talty, to a credit, twice put it on his Facebook site, that it's not changing Redland City. It's about a branding name. I'm not into these sort of things, branding things and stuff like that. I've seen it before. We did it back in 04. There was Razzmatazz, the Redlands 2 business, whatever it was, a website. You know, we had a fantastic tourism committees then. We used to put $250,000 into that business, and it grew. It had $800,000 it could extrapolate out of that. Council virtually destroyed it. We do it all now. We spend over $500,000 running the tourism business, stuff like that. We're not the people that know how to do this stuff. I'm disappointed that we seem to have to run the tourism business in this city. I, I'm
The people that run tourism should be running it. They used to years ago, did a fantastic job, and I think they should continue to carry it on. I think we're misleading, and I saw one. It was the walk from Wellington Point at one of the overheads we saw to King Island. It looked like you were in the Maldives. And I just don't want to mislead people that we talk about this 220 to 250 kilometre coastline. Most of it is inaccessible. Most of it is inaccessible. And it's not allowed, and I agree totally, Councillor Hughes has said, there's coast and coast, and people even in these comments said the coast goes with sand, especially in South East Queensland, but you're not getting that. You've got to go to Stradbroke, and here is all the overheads, here's the surf beach. People think it's great, come down, you've got a $92 or $100 trip to get to the island. Now, it's just that. I just think Redland City Council is 150,000 people. It will probably be 200,000 people. We are a minnow in this game. If you said, I'm from Redland City, don't know where that is, but if I know where you say Stradbroke, they 100% know where you are. So it's about people. The tourism is there. It's not there as far as that goes. I just don't want to mislead the public on this. And Naturally Wonderful, One Cove even wrote, was Naturally Wonderful. We've got to be careful what we do here. It's all very well to say it's all warm and fuzzy and we're doing this and it's natural and stuff like that. But, you know, the people are screaming about development in the city and stuff like that. So you can't have it on two fronts. You've got to be mindful of what you're doing. So I thought it was yogurt to start with when I saw Naturally Wonderful. You see it on lots of things. I just think, no, it's not for me. Branding's never been for me. I've never seen the Redlands business thing fell flat. We spent buckets of money on this. We'll continue to spend buckets of money on this particular project. Feel good about it. I don't think it'll create any more jobs. I think they're there now. 500,000 people go to Stradbroke every year now. I'm not seeing any bursting other tourism things as far as that goes. You can put the logos. We'll put it all on our emails, I'm sure. Business, I hopefully will. I hope we won't be paying for business to put this on it. They should do it themselves. But certainly I'm unsupportive from when I first saw it. One person and a couple of people actually put it up. It was called The Redlands, and I think that makes the distinction. If you want a brand, call us The Redlands, and they'll know where we are because people relate to it. It used to be actually, one lady wrote in here, it used to be called the Copper Coast, and we don't see that, and it used to be called the Copper Coast. And I don't think anybody in the room would know that one, but it was actually there, and I was quite amazed at the whole story about it, as far as I go. Anyway, that's my show. I'm sure plenty of people will reply now and say, how a terrible thing, you shouldn't say that, but that's just my opinion.
Speaker 4, Councillor Tolte.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am one of the, 78% of Councillor Elliott's math. I haven't been an easy convert to this. The staff that have been working on this worked very hard to try to convince me, and they didn't convince me. But what I did was I went back through the proposal, and I went out and I talked to my community about it. And as an English teacher, I'm not keen on Redlands Coast. I can't get around the fact it's grammatically incorrect to me, but I asked my community about that, and to be perfectly honest, and to my great disappointment, they couldn't have cared less. They prefer Redlands Coast. I don't, but they do. With regard to the 13 coasts that Councillor Hughes has compared us to, we have to come to this with the understanding that this is a marketing strategy, and you've got to be in the market before a purchaser can consider buying your product. So when they're here and they're attracted to the coasts, you need to be one of the coasts that they're going to consider visiting. So we if we look at it from a perspective, and I'm one of the old school residents of Redland, unlike the young gentleman that came up with the idea of Redlands Coast, who's been here a short while, it's not something that comes to mind for people who have lived here a long time. We identify, because we have been here a long time, we identify with crabbing and mud flats and brown water. So, Yeah, and we've got all that. And you know what? That's really attractive too if you're a fisherman. And I had people come when I was putting this out and talking to people through Facebook and social media and face-to-face, I had people say to me, "We don't have coasts. What are you talking about?" And that's that comparison to the sand. But, you know, if you go ahead and you Google beaches in Redland City, you will get a huge number of fantastic-looking images of sandy beaches. They do exist here. We have... Because we live here, we forget and we dismiss them. But, you know, we've got Raby Bay, we've got Wellington Point, we've got Thompson's Beach, we've got Orchard Beach, we've got Point Halloran. And that's not even going to the islands, that's just here. And with regard to how many hundreds of kilometres of coast we've got and the fact that it's inaccessible, as Councillor Elliott put it, yeah, that's true. And I completely agree with him. But a person who's coming here for a short stay visit is not looking to visit 300 kilometres of coast. They just need to find enough points of interest and pleasant days out that they can enjoy their stay. And we do have that. With regard to the comments about the local state members' social media page, yes. The majority of comments were negative, but the majority of people were being misled into thinking we were changing the name of the city to Redlands Coast. So the negative comments were in response to the idea that we would again, after such a relatively short time, I'm not sure how long it is since we changed to being a city, I think 2008, so not even 10 years ago, they didn't want to see us go through all of that changing the name of the city again. And that's why the comments were negative, because they had been misled by what was put on the top of the post. So, you know, I read every one of those comments, and I think those people, if they had have had exactly what's going on explained to them properly, would have possibly formed a different view. So, you know, as I say, I am a convert. I didn't come to this thinking it was great. So I thought about it, and I completely supported the idea of getting the city branded. I wanted to get the economic development. I wanted to support the program of work that sits underneath this. I just had a problem with the name. So I sat down and I thought, okay, well, I have no better option. Although I don't mind Copper Coast, Councillor Elliott. That's, I do recall that. It's because of the stain from the red dirt. But I don't come up with anything better. And the people that I talk to are pretty happy and comfortable with it. So I went out not supporting it, expecting the community to come back to me with negative comments. And to be perfectly honest, the comments that they came back with were overwhelmingly positive. And so, you know, I'm not here to vote on what I think. I'm here to vote to represent my community. And so I have been converted and I will be supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tolte. Speaker against? Some other people had their wanted to speak. Everyone wants to speak. Okay. All right. I'll go around the room. Councillor Boglari. Is that okay? You right?
Yep. No, I was just writing it down because I too am a convert. I was disappointed because I too felt we were unique and I wanted something other than coast. So Mel and her team have also had conversations with me and dragged me along on this journey. And I looked at my own mindset and instead of going in with that negativity because it wasn't unique enough for me, I went in with a blank canvas and I sort of had to have a look at myself because, like Councillor Tolte, I'm not a market person. I mean, I agree with it all, but I haven't got those skills. And when you look at Mel and her team, they certainly do have a vast experience in this area, not just in local government, but in large corporations outside. So you do have to listen to them, even though sometimes we don't like listening. Their experience speaks for itself, and their past successes speak volumes as well. Then we had a consultation one day on the streets of Wellington Point. And I think Mel might have been surprised, but I certainly wasn't, because when they were asking the residents walking along what do they like about Redlands, it was, oh, the coast, the bay breezes, our trees, the walk to King Island, That particular day, there was a lady that has come down from Toowoomba. Now, I actually know her now because she comes down so often with her grandchildren to stay with her other daughter down here, and they once again had gone to that walk to King Island. So when Councillor Elliott is mentioning, you know, we're not a coast, well, the people from Toowoomba think of us as a coast because we don't just have to be the surf of Strati, which is one of the top-ranking, what was it? Best surf beach in the world or something. It was somewhere recently. I know it got ranked. So we do have the surf, but we have those mild breezes, and we have the climate, which is wonderful. And the word coast brings to mind villages. Automatically, you think of the coastal villages, which I am very protective of in Redlands and just love. And then we have Moreton Bay. Now, I was trying to remember the area because I remember reading it recently, but it's equal to our mainland. And that bay is our back door. It is part of Redlands. We have the mainland, we have that amazing conservation park of Moreton Bay, and then we have Strati. So Moreton Bay mightn't be surf, but it also has a huge tourism potential, which is equal in value, because I remember doing it in a talk a few years ago, to the Whitsundays. And that is right there on our doorstep to tap into. But unless people know Redlands is part of it, they're never going to come here. And if you go on a local government conference or somewhere and you mention Redlands, they get you mixed up with Redcliffe. They don't know where we are. So even though coast isn't unique to us, it will give us that piggyback effect, like Gold Coast, Redlands Coast, Sunshine Coast. They'll go up the coast. They will finally at least know we're on the coast, which is a big step. So I too was one that was a little bit disappointed in the beginning, so I cleared my mind, put my bias aside, and I listened to those with the experience, and I also listened to my community on that day at Wellington Point, and Redlands Coast, and particularly naturally wonderful. That is what Redlands people protect and value. It's our coastal lifestyle and our natural assets. So I think, as the short video showed, I think this does sum it up. And I really do look forward to people embracing it and going forward with this. And again, I thank the team for it, and I look forward to it.
Thanks, Councillor Borglari. Councillor Mitchell?
Sure. Yeah, it's just wonderful. This will work. It's certainly not about...
Naturally wonderful.
This will work because we can listen to the cash registers, if you like. We can listen to the new tourists that come through. We can listen to the pride in the community, as they say it. We can listen to the people who say, oh, that's where it is, you're on the Redlands Coast in the future. This is not just about tourism, about so many things. But it'll work because this speaks from the heart of our people. This has come from a very authentic and genuine place. We heard from the speakers today, this will work because this is us, and this isn't a gimmick. It's not an ad that we're going to put on TV. This is actually who we are. This engenders our spirit and our pride, and that's why it'll work. So whatever you want to do with it, it's going to work because it's very authentic. It's the culture that underpins it that will give it longevity. And I just look forward to seeing it. It's already being used out there. It's happening organically because it's working. And I'm disappointed with a couple of other councils. They don't swell with pride when they talk about our beaches and our bay.
Point of order. I take offence to that. This is just...
All right, thank you. Point of order.
No offence intended. I'm just disappointed you don't share the same pride I do for our brown water and our sandy beaches, and that you haven't explored and seen the wonder that's out there in our community and our industry and our natural environment. So, yeah. Anyway, so carrying on a bit, but I think this actually works. So, thanks, Councillor Tyrannosaurus. No, with great respect, I think I'm proud of the team, I'm proud of what's happened, and I think this will work because it comes from our community. Thanks.
Councillor Golay? Oh, McCain's, you've done it again.
Look, first of all, I'd just like to thank the Nova Castrian for bringing us Redlands Coast. It's good to see New South Wales leading the charge and providing the name to Queensland. Thank you very much for that. Look, I am going to support this in good faith, but I do have some concerns. And the concerns is the ongoing annual budget that's going to be required to keep this alive. Because there is no set figure. It's up to us as a board. Today is probably the first time that we've actually seen a full presentation with the people who have actually been involved. Councillors have been invited to the Economic Development Boards, but not all councillors have been able to attend. So with the exception of a few sporadic workshops, in reality, as a board ourselves, this is the first time we've actually seen something presented in its full entirety. So where do we go from here? You can disagree all you want.
Chair, councillors. Councillor Goller has the floor.
We just had two guests come and present to us with a video. So this is the first time we've actually seen it presented in this way. Yeah? So I would like to see a couple of things added into it, and I'm sure we can add that into it. We have things like horse riding and other events that happen in the Redlands that are attractive to people from the bigger cities and other areas. I'd also like to see that we set a figure annually, okay, and that figure is targeted strategically at what we're going to do step by step in relation to our entrance signs and things like that. And then gradually, if need be, build up into, dare I say it, putting it on TV as an advert. When I spoke to members of the team with Mel, my experience is when you launch a brand, you launch it with a bang. We've sort of been hijacked a little bit because other levels of government decided to go out and make announcements prior to it being brought to a council for a resolution to actually accept it. So this organic, naturally acceptance and I think has been cultivated in such a way that it's probably removed a little bit of the glistening effect of our motion and our resolution to bring it forward and release it to the public ourselves. So from here on in, I'd like to see the strategy and the budget around this of how we actually step forward, because we could throw a couple of $1 million at it, we could throw $100,000 at it. It's entirely up to us now. And what figure we put onto this as a board ourselves, despite all the Economic Development Board and everyone else putting their input, the buck stops with us as to how far this goes. And we have to consider this every single year as part of our annual budget, and ratepayers need to understand that it's public money that we're going to be spending on this, and how much do we actually spend on it. So I congratulate all the hard work, but in essence, the hard work starts now. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Golay. Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think at the time when Redlands Coast first came up, it was Councillor Mitchell and myself were the only two that supported in the room. But I think at the time, the very first meeting it was. Anyway, but I have grown to embrace it. The things that I found out when I was consulting with people is we don't appreciate our own area as much as people that come here from outside do. And I think this branding will give us regional significance. I mean, I understand the Fraser Coast, but Maryborough and Hervey Bay still have their identities. They have that M brand when you drive into Maryborough. Like, it doesn't dilute your city as such. It's just a branding tool. The thing that I love about this is that I came to Victoria Point specifically because I had land on the islands. That's why I moved here 28 years ago, is because my wife bought a block of land on Carragara Island and I want to go fishing on the beach over there on the weekends. That's the whole reason we moved down here, because of the water. It's the most significant thing for the area. What I think is fantastic is to have Delvin Cockatoo Collins involved in our design, to appreciate that the world spotlight was on this lady during the Commonwealth Games. She is a local and national hero, and to have her involved in this, to me, is a magnificent feather in our caps for this city. So I thank you, Delvin. It's amazing that you're involved. I think there's so much opportunity with the Quandamooka, our cultural heritage, ecotourism, I think it's fantastic, and if this brand can drive that further, then I'll fully support it. Thank you.
Councillor Edwards.
I think it must be nearly the last. I love the logo. Absolutely love it. And I love it because of the islands, and I'll get back to that in a second. I understand the issues raised about the number of coasts, but there's coasts and there's coasts. If you go to the Whitsunday coast, that's a lot, we know in our minds that's a lot different than the Gold Coast, you know, with the aquamarine still water up there and the islands. I actually had a motel many, many years ago on the Cassowary coast, and the difference of that coast is be careful of the crocodiles when you walk up and down it. So there is a difference, and we have is a differentiation in coast on these islands. And I'd just like to put personally my coast. I've got a home on the water on Russell Island, on Conipa Passage, and they overlook Stradbroke. I don't have neighbours. Of a daytime, I can sit on my deck. I watch the dolphins go past, the boats go past, and people fishing. And of a night time, the sky is so clear. And just last week, I sat on the deck, and it was about quarter past eight, and Mars rose. And you could see Mars with the naked eye. And on the water, first time I've ever seen, a little red ripple and a reflection of Mars on the water. When I take my tinny out to go around the islands, I don't use it to go fishing. I go to exploring, and I can take any of you any time, and I can show you where the dugongs are and lots of turtles. And as you just putt around the dinghy, there's plenty of places you can call in, little sandy nooks that come out and trails you can go. It really is a different coast. And to me, I think that we just need some differentiation and probably allow people to explore what we have here to offer. And again, I'll go back to the logo. Our islands have such a wonderful different coast experience to share, and I'm totally supporting this.
Thank you. Just before I hand back to you to sum up, Councillor Bishop, just a couple of comments. And I guess having done a little bit of international travel in my time, one of the reasons people come to Australia is because of its coastline. And majority of people who live in Australia live on its coastline. So from an Australian perspective, for an experience, that's what people are looking for. Visitors also come to Australia and to Queensland for a particular type of experience. The type of experience that we are very fortunate to have in this city is our Indigenous cultural experience. And as you know, Quandamooka Coast we form part, of the Quandamooka Coast. And our islands, in fact, form part of that Quandamooka Coast. Councillor Edwards has been talking about a differentiation. Well, there's one right now. Having just come back from New Zealand and seeing what Maori tourism does for its economy and how they operate, that is a huge opportunity for us. And we can do nothing and pretend that, you know, jobs will just come our way because someone will just fall upon the wonderful experiences that we've heard about around the room today. But this is a moment in time. We've just come out of the Commonwealth Games and we've seen Delvine Cockatoo Collins and we've heard from Sam, who participated in that to make a national opportunity for this region, put us on the map. You can't pay for that kind of exposure. But on top of that, in the next 4 or 5 years, we'll see Queen's Wharf built. We'll have an extension of the Brisbane Airport, a cruise terminal. Now, if we don't start demonstrating that differentiation and, I guess, celebrating the coastline that people come to visit, we're going to miss that boat. And the other point of differentiation for a coastline, we've heard the number of coastlines, you know, Fraser, Cassowary, etc., etc. You tell me how many coastlines are 30 minutes or 30 kilometres away from the third largest city in Australia. We're it. Not only that, we have three international airports. Gold Coast was only probably another 45, 50 minutes away from here, and we also have obviously Brisbane. There's our points of differentiation. Now, yep, the city has grown and development has occurred over a period of time, but if you compare us to other places in the world, we are still naturally wonderful. And the fact that our coastlines are inaccessible actually is one of the reasons why we're naturally wonderful and we're different.
Not to say that we don't want to make sure people have access to our coastlines, but there's plenty of sand on North Stradbroke Island. It's the second largest sand island in the world. So, you know, when you're talking about access to sand, you can't probably argue that point. So, you know, when people think of Redlands, and we don't want them to call us a bayside suburb of Brisbane, do we, Councillor Golay? We don't want to be referred to as Redcliffe. We want people to think of Redlands having an archipelago of islands, 350 square kilometres of Moreton Bay, which, you know, is as good as if not better than, the Great Barrier Reef in its own way, and has access to more people, or people have more access to it. And we want to think of the opportunities of employment that tourism brings without having the impact on what we see as naturally wonderful. And tourism is one of those opportunities, and particularly now, people, you know, my age and above are looking for an ecotourism opportunity. And if you're not acknowledging the coastline and the coastline's hinterland here in Redlands, you're missing that opportunity. So I think it's been a great project, and I want to thank Mel and the team again, and I want to thank the community who came up with this idea. It's very hard to find a balance between an economic brand and a civic pride brand, but these two have the opportunity, or those two things have the opportunity to gel with Redlands Coast. And frankly, I can't think of a better way to have an ex-New South Wales person start the winning streak for Queensland here in Redlands today. Go the Mighty Maroons. Sorry, Andrew. I just want to reiterate that this is not Council's brand. This is the community's brand. This is the city's brand. We're hoping people embrace it and actually value it for what it is. It's actually identifying the great community we live in, this great geography we have from Mount Cotton right through to the sand beaches of Stradbroke Island, Coochie Mudlow, Russell, the Kniper Passage, all of those things, and the Indigenous overlay that we have in this city is something that we will learn to embrace, and other parts of the world will learn to embrace. And so thank you to Delvine for making sure that that was sort of, you know, centre of the design. So with that, I'll hand back to Councillor Bishop to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And there's a lot of notes that I've made. There are a lot of points that I could cover. But the things that I think are most important is we've just had a range of views spoken about that are all valid. The most important part of that is that they're all custodial views. We sit as representatives of 150,000 people, notwithstanding those that have gone before, all the souls that have been before, all that will come. This is a custodial opportunity for us to think about this place at this time and to have that conversation more broadly with the community. People have talked about whether they support this or not, because there's some positive and negative views out in the world. Of course, as a custodian, we're going to see that. It's our job to be custodians and hold that place for us to consider the future of this city and what it will be for residents. I think I just want to come back to this point. Yes, it's a brand, but what is a brand if not a story? Everything is story. The laws we make are story. Everything is story. The story of this place at this time, Redlands Coast. Where is it? 30 kilometres east of Brisbane. It's got the oldest surviving cultural connection to place on the planet. You interested in it? Because there's 150,000 people who love it. It's an opportunity for people to have a conversation. Let's do that. I support this and endorse it, and thank the officers, those individuals in the room. I think we're all custodians, and it's up now to the community to decide how it will work with the civic and commercial realm to say, let's collaborate and see where this can go. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Bishop. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Williams. Those against? Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes. Thank you, councillors. All right, moving on to 12.2, the outcome of the Canals and Lake consultation. Moved Councillor Mitchell, seconded Councillor Boglari. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Mitchell? I'm just going to ask. Just before we go into fors and against, I might just ask John to explain the consultation process briefly. I know, councillors, most of it's in your report. If that's okay, John, are you happy to just roll into that?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This was a very deep engagement process through three broad consultation streams. The first of those was the citywide consultation stream, which incorporated market research. And that was conducted by an independent market research firm. And we surveyed via telephone survey 400 residents. So there were 300 from the broader city outside of the Canal and Lake Estates and 100 from the Canal and Lake Estates. And that was compiled and returned to us. That was one stream, the first stream. My apologies, there was also a component part to that which included the work that I and other officers at Council did. We travelled around the city and did pop-ups in shopping centres. We had display materials at the libraries. Obviously on the Your Say site as well, there was materials and the opportunity to have your say. Consultation also included a second stream, which was primarily with the ratepayer associations and where they didn't exist, with representatives from the estates. And that was, again, conducted in parallel, if you like, with the other streams of consultation, but occurred through December through to February. And involved three lots of meetings. So this was again conducted by an independent agency. It was conducted by Articulus Communications. And ultimately what happened was that those associations provided a written submission, which was their statement of what they believed would be fair and reasonable. The third stream is the primary stream, and it was the Citizens Advisory Panel. It was the first time that Council had ever done anything like this. It was a reasonably expensive process. It was a very lengthy process, and it involved the recruitment, again, by an independent recruiter of 40 individuals who represented the city. They were a little mini public, if you like, of the city. And through the course of that period between December and February, they met on three occasions, and they had presentations from the associations, they had presentations from officers, regarding legal issues, engineering issues, rating issues, etc. And they also had presentations from other experts like LGAQ, marine engineers, etc. So the thing that I'd like to say about this particular stream is that they spent in that room about 1,200 minutes. The market research, which was a much broader exercise, those individuals spent about 9 minutes on this exercise. So the point that I'm trying to make is that those people in that room did get a very good handle and what the issues were, the thoughts, the concerns of the associations and people who lived in these Canal and Lake Estates. They got a really good handle on the engineering and legal and other issues, they made recommendations. So those three streams of consultation, the outcomes were drawn together and common themes identified, and they're in the council report that you have before you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we have a mover and seconder. Councillor Boglari has moved it. Councillor Mitchell has seconded it. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Boglari? Oh, did I get the wrong way around? Sorry, Peter Mitchell. Councillor Mitchell. My apologies.
Yes. That's right. Yeah, thanks, Mayor Williams. I'd just like to get back to why it was needed. I think our speaker this morning probably summed it up well, that the history, there was a lot of confusion, a lot of heartache. It was more emotive, it perhaps wasn't fact-based, and it was time where we need to press the reset button and a process that was informed and factual and less emotive. So hence the very broad engagement process started. This report today does represent a very significant body of work, it's very important, it's in detail, very challenging to the people that were deeply embedded, and in some ways it's quite cathartic, I think. And I think that some of the validity and authenticity of the information embedded in this report has indicated that there were some people that actually, you know, changed their minds a full 180 degrees. So I think we can be pretty comfortable that what's embedded in this is very authentic. This important report, the information has and will feed into our discussions as a council as we approach how we look at maintenance and repair for vet walls into the future. So, thank you.
Any speakers against? Is this an item for noting? But comment, Councillor Bishop? Oh, I'll go to Councillor Boglari first, and to you then to Paul.
Oh, thank you. I'd just also like to say that the consultation process was extremely thorough. And for those people who gave up their time from all areas of the city, I haven't spoken to anyone particularly on that panel, but the officers were telling me what in-depth questions they were actually coming back to. So thank you to those people, because you took that job seriously, and apparently there was a lot more in-depth conversations going on than what was first probably expected, and they have really risen to that challenge, which just shows the strength of having these community groups when we've got these issues. Just a couple of things that came out of it. The copy in front of us today, it's a very small print, but there's it really is worth reading the whole the details and working out all what the graphs are standing for. One fact came out that 43% of everybody surveyed uses the areas at least monthly or weekly, and 7% actually used it daily. And I think that was a surprise to some people, how many people outside the actual areas are using these areas now, using the waterways. Sovereign Lake is definitely more people using it than actually live around it, with the amount of paddle boarding and triathlon training and everything else that's going on there. And I don't think that was widely recognised, whereas now it is. I think some of the results were surprising. They were very fair and equitable results, and I'm looking forward to further discussions of having this incorporated in our budget. And this will now be released to all the... This is now public, isn't it? Yeah. I was just wondering if perhaps maybe a slightly clearer copy of some of these graphs, because it's very small, could be given just to those three main associations at least, if that could be possible. But yeah, well done to all the work.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I also would like to acknowledge the lucid nature of the presentation this morning from a speaker, Michael Legrand, who just had some very clear, succinct points that community often, out of 150,000 people, we get some extraordinary minds. I think the thing I like about this report and noting it is that it goes out to the public. I think that's very important. It's high time. This is a highly volatile issue historically, and I think some of the things that have been done through this process are very important, and it needs to be shared with the community so they can look over that. I just also want to acknowledge that when we went down this path, I did not support the particular process. And there's a particular reason why, and I'd like to highlight it now, if I may. I am a great advocate for citizen juries. I'm a great advocate for the deep, deliberative, democratic processes that give us the robust capacity to make decisions informed by our citizens and our residents. I had some concerns as we went into this process, and I did not give my support. I won't speak about the reasons why, but I will mention the fact that as councillors, we were not invited to oversee or participate in that process. And I never want to see that happen again to this council, that councillors who are the representatives of the community are not invited to participate in community deliberative processes. I don't ever want to see it again. I'm concerned. I was concerned before we went down that path. I'm pleased to see this information going back, because what that deliberative group of people came up with after their 12,000 hours was increasingly consensus view that give us the sort of information that we can have confidence in as decision makers, and I wanted to be part of that process.
And as an elected representative, I feel as though not only I had every responsibility to be there, every right to be there, but I should have had the responsibility to be there. I wasn't given that opportunity. I never want that to happen again. So I acknowledge this is going out to the community. They can chew over it as they will. Councillors will make a binary agree or disagree to some of the things that result from this. I would like to have been participant in their deliberative processes, and I thank you very much and thank the officers, and I acknowledge the complexity of the work involved across the various streams, and I want to thank John Dumovich, because I think the community came up with some very important stuff that we can have faith in. Thank you.
Councillor Golay.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Just very quickly, I just wanted to acknowledge Mr. LeGrand. I think it's very prudent that, as an organisation, we dispel a lot of the myths so that any sort of groups or minds who think that we're out there sort of dripping with blood off our fangs, ready to do the wrong thing by the community, is done away with. The points that he raised, that we are basically acting within a legal framework, is highly important, and it should be regarded in the community as well. And it should be taken at face value that we're not actually out there to do the wrong thing by the community as such. So I just wanted to acknowledge his points, and I think we could do a better job ourselves as an organisation as putting those points together, even if it was 3 to 6 key points as to why legally we have to do something, and put that to the media, so that basically we're not just telling a story and providing a headline of that can sort of have this tennis approach where it's backwards and forwards of he said, she said. It's straight to the point. We've nailed it. This is why we're doing it, and it's done with. That way there's no rumours, there's no secondary groups out there telling stories and trying to make something of it, and we won't have to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars looking at groups or any sort of, you know, process like this in the future. We've just got to be straight down the point. This is why it's done. And if we don't have to do something, walk away from it. Thank you.
I think it's important to note that our budget papers would actually refer to the legislation that requires us or enables us to do those things. It's just it's not a very straightforward piece of legislation, so not everyone cares. They only really care what turns up in their letterbox in the form of a rate notice. They don't go back to that detail, but acknowledge that. Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Mayor. Look, I'll declare my hand here and say that I didn't support going with this process either, but that's not what we're voting on today. It's about noting the report and the consultation process. I didn't support it because I'm going to support this today because we're really just noting it for the community, but I didn't support it because I was concerned about the cost involved going out to the community. I still strongly believe, I said it then, I'll say it again, I still strongly believe that each of us in here have a responsibility to understand how our community feels about a particular item, and we should be making those decisions for them and not necessarily going out and spending big bucks to find out what they want. I guess every 4 years the community will be the judge on that, whether we've done the right thing by them or not. So I voted against it. We went out and did it anyway, and fair bit. There's 11 people in here in the room that vote, and that was a decision of the council, and I can live with that. That's fine. That being said, I think once we make a decision in here to go out and have a company do a community consultation and work with the community, I think it's important that councillors step away from that process. We cannot be in there seemingly skewering the results. We have to stay away from it and get the results back unbiased, so no one can make any claims that we skewered the data or we manipulated the information. We have to remain totally independent of that process, get the information back, and then process that information. I totally disagree with what Councillor Bishop said. I don't particularly like going down this process, and I probably won't support it again if that comes up. But in this case, it happened, and that was a decision of Council. I can live with it. But I don't. If we do go down that path again, I really don't want to see councillors involved in it. We should be just getting the final results of the data and not be seemingly skewing data. But as far as this goes, it's just for noting, so I'll support it.
Councillor Elliott.
Yes, it's just unfortunate. I think I mentioned it to councillors that we're releasing this today, but the decision, you won't know till the 25th. So it would be nice if it had been the next day or something like that, because people will get this and go through and it generates them, you know, what are they doing, and you know, shadow boxing goes on. So
I'm looking forward to the budget as soon as possible and then sort out there.
Any other comments? Being none? Any summing up, Councillor Mitchell?
Yep, very quickly. Importantly, the process was at a point in time and it was on a particular case, so the concerns of various councillors are noted and the different opinions are noted. I think in the end, for this report though, both internally and externally, generally it seems to have been received as very valid and authentic and reliable, so it's a document that we can trust in our deliberations, and today we'll release it for the public to have a look at and look forward to our decisions and our discussions ongoing. Thank you.
Put the motion, councillors. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Thank you. 12.3, which is our investment policy, constrained cash reserves policy, application of dividends and tax equivalent payments policy. Move, Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor.
Seconded, Councillor Golay. Would you like to speak to Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Mayor. In moving these three policies, I'd like to thank our leadership through this budget process by our CFO. Thank you, Deborah. Really appreciate that. We have an annual review of our financial strategy, and it considers the key policies, including these three corporate policies, the investment policy, the constrained cash reserves policy, and the application of dividends and tax equivalent policies. They're considered as a yearly assessment. There's no change or intent to change these policies. This has been our annual review. Thank you very much.
Councillor Hughes, any other speakers on that? It's just a process getting ready for our budget deliberations. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Item 12.4, our revenue policy. Councillor Hughes, would you like to move that?
Thank you again, Mayor. Moving item 12.4, the 2018-19 revenue policy. Thank you.
Move, Councillor Hughes. Seconded, Councillor Golay. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Mayor. The revenue policy is reviewed each year, similar as what I've just mentioned previously. As part of Council's budget development process, it contains Council's policy positions on key revenue items and contains the principles that Council bases its decisions on. It also contains Council's principles on granting concessions and community subsidies and is a key policy as part of Council's financial management system, and again, under the leadership of our Chief Financial Officer, as we've gone through this budget process. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other speakers? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 13.1, 46 to 48 Muller Street. Move, Councillor Tolte. Seconded, Councillor Mitchell. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the motion as recommended by the officers. This is a residential area in my electorate in Redland Bay, and most of these lots already have homes on them. The residents have grouped together to ask us to review the mapping as it is incorrect and not reflective of what's on the ground. Officers have reassessed the vegetation that exists on these blocks, and they haven't fully agreed with the application by the residents, but they have recommended an adjustment which does reflect the values that are there. It's important to understand that what this change in mapping represents is not an ability for the residents to remove trees, but an ability for them to then apply to alter their building envelopes so that they can fit sheds, swimming pools, etc., into those areas of their properties which are predominantly already cleared. Should they, in a future development proposal for each of their homes, need to remove a tree, they will still be required to apply these trees. This motion today does not automatically allow anyone to remove any vegetation. It simply alters the mapping to allow people, should they need to make that application, to do so. And in the event that there's no way that they can avoid removing a tree, then they will be required under this mapping and this zoning to then replace those trees elsewhere on their property. So it's important for people to understand exactly what's been applied for and asked for and what's being recommended to be granted by the officers. So I'd like to recommend that councillors support this in support of my residents, please.
Speaker against? Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Mayor. I won't go too long. This is similar to the one we did a few GMs ago. I'm not supportive of the motion. I think it's there and I'm not changing history. It's there. They can apply something like that. The covenants, yeah. We're not talking about that. It's just the overlay. I'm supportive the overlay stands there. And if it's a higher assessment for whatever they want to do, stay there. Thank you.
Speaker 4, Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Mayor. I note that we took 46 to 68 Muller Street. I took a drive down there in ground truth as I do for each issue that we vote on or I vote on. It's Joshua Place and Vanstone Way down here in Redland Bay. These homes are there. They are existing. We talk about changing history. These families have got their lovely new homes. They're caring for these properties. I chatted to a couple of the residents up there. They're not asking for the trees to be removed, and I will support this one. Thank you.
Any other speaker against? Councillor Boglari.
I'm agreeing with Councillor Elliott on this one. I feel sometimes we just chip away, and if there is an overlay in that in an area, it was there for a purpose. I actually looked up the original order, and it talks about vegetation management plan, the retention of vegetation, koala habitat trees, specific attention must be given to them. This must be consistent with documented requirements in the vegetation management plan to protect areas not to be developed, such as proposed public open space and covenant areas in private lots. It goes on to say that this information should be given to every purchaser in the covenant area, every subsequent purchaser, so that they know that this was going to happen. Ensure that the covenant species that only passive recreational uses, blah, blah, blah. Passive recreational use does not include access by domestic animals. Goes on to track vehicles, motorcycles, construction, use of barbecues, fireplaces, tennis courts, play equipment, pools, similar facilities. So the original court approval actually says that these areas were to be protected against. The people can build in their development in their envelope, but that's it. The rest of their blocks were supposed to be maintained. So that is how it was given. Every purchaser was supposed to be given the information about that, so they would have known that when they bought there. I'm just not prepared to chip away at our Redlands Coast, which is naturally wonderful, because that brand has to come through all our thinking. And it's a cultural change, and that has to be used in all our thinking.
Speaker 4, Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Mayor. Obviously I wasn't around in 2010 when this was given. I struggle to understand. I understand why the covenants were put in place. The back of these blocks adjoin what looks like, appears to be fairly thick conservation area with probably high value habitat value. I understand that. But these properties were allowed to be busted down to residential lot sizes with 6 foot high timber fencing all the way around each property with vertical timber slats. Certainly not conducive to a healthy koala habitat. I find it hard to believe that these trees are providing some sort of protection or solace for koalas. I mean, they might be providing for bird life, but I really don't see the value in however this was approved or developed. I note one of the on page 8 or page 150 of the attachment, one of the trees, the trunk's snapped halfway up and hanging there at the moment. And I know buyer beware when you buy a property, but these properties were approved 8 years ago. It's getting to the point where, you know, it's time to sell and buy and sell, and you've got, you know, potentially new owners. I'm going to support the officer's recommendation. As Councillor Tolte said, they've still got to apply to be able to remove any of the trees. There's still going to be medium value protection on them anyway. But I just don't get why we would stand over these ratepayers and what protection that gives the environment when there's 6 foot high fences around each of the blocks to keep that environment out. I just don't get that. So I'm going to support the officer's recommendation.
Speaker against, Councillor Bishop. Speak against, Councillor Gollow.
Madam Chair, mine's more of a question as well.
I had Councillor Bishop put his hand up first, so.
Madam Mayor, mine is a process check as a result of the discussion we had yesterday morning, and I would just like councillors to refer to their own minds regarding an email sent from an officer yesterday at 1:13. And just look through and consider those various matters of clarity in terms of...
So the new legislation will require you to actually name and...
I'm asking...
That's not how it works, Councillor. If you have a concern that someone has a conflict in the room, then you need to
Madam
name
Mayor,
it.
Madam Mayor, through you, if I may, just for councillors to reflect upon their views in relation to...
Point of order, Mayor. That's just casting aspersions on everyone. If he's got anything to declare, he's got to declare the facts.
It's not a point of order. The legislation is... It's not a question. Councillor, your responsibility under the new legislation is to name it.
Madam Mayor, I'm asking a simple question for councillors to reflect, that's all.
The legal obligation, councillor.
Okay. As a result of a meeting yesterday in relation to our...
I'll go you to your green form, councillors. I think you've all got one. Sorry, that might make it easier for you. I would make a suggestion to each and every one of you that when you have these concerns that you actually ask... question prior to coming into the meeting, but
that's,
if you
that's
haven't
why
done
I'm actually not. That's
well,
why I'm asking that.
I'm suggesting that you do it before. Well, it's not a point of order. It's a legislative requirement, and if you have a concern, you have to follow the process now, Councillor. But
I'm
saying in future, you probably should ask that question prior to coming in here.
I probably should, but this has been recent information that's been brought to our attention. I'm asking us to reflect for ourselves. That's all. Thank you.
Councillor, the law is the law.
Am I given the opportunity to just ask that question?
No. That is the law. No. Honour, here is not. Please ensure you've considered the following before you make this declaration. That you reasonably believe...
I'm not making a declaration. I'm asking a question. Have councillors considered that for themselves? That's the end of my point, if that's
no.
Okay.
All right. Well, if you don't want to make the point, then I'll
the point, a point. The point I'm
okay,
trying to make is
you
have councillors.
Point of order,
Mayor.
What is your point of order?
Councillor's not chairing the meeting. It's not his place to cast aspersions on all councillors in the room, unless
all
he's
right,
got
it's
a,
not a point of order.
Unless he's got a.
I'm
unless
continuing,
he's got a specific councillor to draw attention
I'm continuing,
to.
I'm continuing
that's the
with the meeting.
The
thank
new
you.
New
it's not a point of order. I add another question from Councillor Gollow.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Given that a court order from the Planning and Environment Court has now been produced in relation to this matter, could we have a planning officer come forward and actually explain what that
are you
what
right
that
to do
means
that?
And how that actually impacts this decision here today? Thank you.
I said David's coming. Yeah, David's the only planning
my,
officer.
My concern is that are we actually
trying to push aside what's been placed as a covenant through a court order and put in a change over the ground. Thank you. Okay, just for my own peace of mind, I prefer that the officers answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gollay. So as you note, the approval was given a number of years ago. It was given through a court order from the Planning and Environment Court. An applicant can seek to make an application requesting changes to an approval. And that's open to any applicant. Council will have to consider whether it agrees to those changes to an approval. That's a separate matter. That's a future consideration. As part of that request, though, what the applicant has asked Council to consider is, under the Koala regulation, is the classification, is the mapping correct? Does it reflect what's on the ground? That's the matter for Council to consider. So it's a very narrow assessment of the vegetation type in terms of classification. Future consideration of changes to the approval will occur at some point in the future.
So just following on from that, does this document have any bearing on the decision today at all?
No.
Can I allow, please, can you let the officers out? I'm asking a question, Councillor.
No, it doesn't. Your decision today is a narrow one based upon the Koala regulation, the mapping classification, and whether what's there reflects the mapping.
David, it's just got in this, I'm just reading this court order. It says, prior to any works, including civil construction of works related to any vegetation management being undertaken, that may...
Of order, Councillor, you've just been explained that that document has no bearing on the motion in front of us. And with
Excuse me, Councillor, I'm asking a question.
I'm quite allowed to do that. You're the chair.
And I'm asking a question.
Of something that's not related to the matter in front of us, which is outside standing orders.
I think the court order is related to the matter and...
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they do not come into play in this decision. You've just had that explained by an officer.
Are you finished?
No, I'm not. You're supposed to be the chair.
Well, Karen was... So, Councillor Talty, what is your problem?
Mr Chair, my point of order is that you are asking a question that is unrelated to the matter before us and therefore is not relevant and is wasting the time of this chamber.
Well, I dismiss your objection. I believe I have a right to ask that question.
Fortunately, the real chair's back now, so take your seat, Councillor.
I'll take a seat when the Mayor actually asks me to.
Madam Chair, I called a point of order. Council has just asked if the document from the court case was relevant to the very narrow decision that was being made today in relation to the on-the-ground mapping. It was explained to them that that has no relevance to the decision being made, and yet the council still wants to bring that document into the discussion.
I'll get the officer to respond as to what the relevance is, if there is any.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So, as explained, the court order will be relevant, very relevant, when Council considers any changes to the approval. Today's decision, today's assessment and decision is on the Koala mapping classification and whether the vegetation on the ground reflects the mapping or whether it should be a different category. So it's a very narrow matter. Court order, very relevant for the future decision on whether to agree changes to the approval.
Was there anyone else with waiting? Councillor Boglari, is it a question?
Previously there was a high-valued block in Ormiston and Council reduced that overlay. So then the applicants came in with a subdivision application, which got approved.
Can you be just clear? Are you talking about the criteria of habitat, or are you talking about the size of the overlay?
Yeah, we reduced.
This is about the terminology of high, medium value rehabilitation, not necessarily size.
We reduced their overlay significance from the high value to rehabilitation. So then when they put in their application for subdivision, we then assessed it under that, which in my mind then made it easier for them. So I'm asking, is that a similar scenario here? Because this document says at the time of approval, it was a very highly valued area. And I'd say if it went to court, we might have even refused it and they took it to court. Is that what happened? No, I can't remember.
I'll get David
it
to answer.
Answer. Tell me.
I'll get
you.
David.
Relevance.
I'll get David to answer the question. Through the chair, councillors, please, everyone.
I don't have the exact details on why the appeal was made, but my understanding is that it may have been a deemed refusal because council didn't make a decision in time. I think I'm aware of the property that you're referring to, councillor, in Ormiston. Very different circumstances to here. In that scenario in Ormiston, the request was made to change the classification from high-value bushland to rehabilitation. Council agreed to that. When council considered the subdivision application, the applicant had to demonstrate that even though the category changed to rehabilitation, that the clearing was unavoidable. Our advice to council at the time was the clearing is avoidable. Even if you subdivide this, the trees can be retained, and it was a condition of the approval of the subdivision that all vegetation had to remain in place. So that changed the classification in that scenario had no bearing on the subdivision application.
I think you've been given the answer. It was just two very different scenarios. That's pretty much the short answer to what you've just asked. Councillor Hewlett, and then I'm going to go back to someone.
Thank you, Madam. So just one other question. So if someone wants to put a playground or a swimming pool within these urban blocks now under this overlay, are they completely restricted to? Madam, honestly. Well, Wendy, Councillor
Hewlett, through the chair. David, please respond.
Yes, it's correct to say that they can't put any swimming pools, tennis courts, all those other elements in an area which is in the covenant area. So they're restricted to certain parts of that lot in terms of what they can do.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There was a period in this council where it was considered appropriate and standard practice to put covenants over people's property that prevented them from walking their dog on their own land, prevented them from putting a swing set on their own land. That is not how this council operates now, and indeed it's been proven to be an inaccurate and inappropriate way to try to preserve environment anyway. It hasn't worked. It hasn't worked because it makes people criminals in their own backyard, which is outrageous to begin with, and it doesn't prevent the clearing of the trees because in this case there are no trees being proposed to be cleared. Councillor Boglari, I think in a very roundabout way, was trying to ask if we change this mapping, will it make these blocks able to be subdivided? I asked this question of officers. The response was there was one block that could possibly be subdivided in the future, extremely unlikely because it has a very large house on it, and the others were not changing zoning and not able to be subdivided. So I hope that answers the question for her. The decision has been explained by the officers very simply. They're asking to have the vegetation that is on their lots assessed. There's a detailed report provided which tells you exactly what every one of the trees on every one of the lots is, and there is no proposal to remove the trees. Indeed, if they want to build anything or put anything in these areas of covenants later, they have to show under the recommendation of the officers here that that the removal of the trees would be unavoidable. They will have to do full application and report if they needed to remove a tree, and they would have to replace the tree. These blocks are large blocks. They have plenty of space outside of their building envelopes where people could put a swing set or a barbecue. Do you really support not letting people have a barbecue on their own land? So, councillors, please support the officer's recommendation.
Councillors, with that, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? So the motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Golay, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Williams. Those against? Councillor Boglari, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Bishop. Thank you, councillors. Moving on to item 13.2. Councillor Bishop, you're going to move the delegated authority for noting.
Yes, Madam Mayor, it's 13.2. Decisions made under delegated authority for categories 1, 2 and 3 development applications. I'd just like to move that.
Move, Councillor Bishop. Seconded, Councillor Hewlett. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Bishop?
No, it's all in the report. Thank you.
Any questions or comments? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 13.3 is the list of development and planning court related matters. Move, Councillor Tolte. Seconded, Councillor Mitchell, would you like to speak to it, Councillor Tolte?
No, thanks, Madam Mayor. It's all in the report. Simply to note the matters up to the 15th of May.
Thank you. Any questions? Question, Councillor Golay?
Yeah, thanks, Madam Chair. If I could just ask our legal counsel present if there's any updates in relation to the share accommodation at all.
I'll organise for that to perhaps be taken offline. I think it's, well, normally matters before the court aren't something that we publicly discuss. A new court date. That's pretty straightforward.
The court date here was changed from 6th of June to the 3rd of August. It's the next court date on that matter. So an update will be provided before then.
Thanks for that.
Thank you. Moving on, we go straight through to, there are no mural minutes, no notion, pardon? Oh, did I not take a vote on that? Sorry, my apologies. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried. That's the list of the planning court matters. My apologies. That's all right. No mayoral minute, no notice of motion, no urgent business without notice. Move straight to confidential items. Councillors, do we need to move into... And any requirement for us to move into confidential? No? Okay. Councillor Elliott's moved item 19.1. Seconded Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Item 19.2. Happy to move it, Councillor Elliott. Move Councillor Elliott. Seconded Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Councillors, I think that brings us to the end of our meeting. Meeting closed at 11:54. Thank you.